Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast, is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
We're going to listen to Matt Nagy here in just a couple minutes, but boy, how about this story? You know, Yurko shared his bad beat experience from Monday. He was feeling pretty frisky in a squares pool where they just play for points, but 6,000 of them, turn your mic on, 6,000 of them were on the line. And Yurko had Bears 3, Rams 4.
Yep. Just happened to have it. And it was sitting there in the fourth quarter.
And then Eddie Jackson runs
third
one
down.
In.
Well, third down, and they run a little sweep action to the receiver. And he fumbles. Robert Woods fumbles.
Yeah. Robert Quinn knocked it loose. Yeah. Eddie Jackson picked it up, took it in.
And there it was. And gone. Happy Poof. For the Bears.
Like a fart in the wind.
But did anybody think the offense was going to be able to put two touchdowns?
No. I know where you were going.
Neither did I, and I was just like...
Now listen to this story.
That's it right there.
From Monday night.
Suffering succotash.
A stat correction that changed a sack to a tackle for loss in the Bears-Rams game on Monday caused a $997,000 fantasy football heartbreak for a 41-year-old insurance agent in St. Louis. For 30 minutes after Monday's game, Rob Hunts, I said Hunts, thought he had won the $1 million prize in the DraftKings contest. Everything worked out perfectly down the stretch in the Rams' 24-10 win. One of Hunt's lineups featured both the Bears and the Rams defense and had scored 92.79 points. That was the most out of the over 175,000 entries. His computer screen showed a $1 million first prize. He texted friends, called his parents to share the news, and took his dog Achilles. It's a cool name for the dog, for a quick walk. When he returned, he wanted to refresh his computer screen again just to see myself on top, he said, and then boom. A sack that had been credited to the Bears defense late in the fourth quarter was changed to a running play and a 3-yard loss by Rams quarterback Jared Goff. The loss dropped Hunts into a tie for sixth with 18 other entries, and his prize money went from $1 million to $3,000. $78.
That's a kick in the little guy.
94 cents. Now, Yurko and I were just watching the play here on Game Pass.
Look at the receivers is the key.
It's a bootleg. Goff is bootlegging out to his left. Okay? And Yurko thinks, I don't know, that should be. Now, who changes these rules, by the way, Yurko? Does the NFL?
Elias Sports Bureau.
The official? Okay.
So I'm looking at it. I want to see what the receivers are doing.
All right, I'll show you. Here you go, Yurko. People on Twitch can see Yurko standing over my shoulder. We're a little close for comfort here, Justin Turner.
Well,
you're not COVID positive, are you? All right, here we go. So here, Yurko's going to watch the play. We're watching it now.
Look at the receivers.
And I'm looking at the receivers of the Rams. He's only got two receivers on the field, the tight end. It looked like 11 personnel.
Nobody's dragging across. It's a run.
So it's a run play.
Yeah, it's a run. Nobody's dragging across. It's a naked bootleg that nobody bought. You see any any receivers coming across the field to the left? Look at all your receivers and what they're doing.
They're in 12 personnel, actually.
Right.
They got two tight ends.
Right, and the receivers are blocking,
they're
right?
Blocking.
They're stock blocking,
they're blocking
the defensive backs.
They're blocking. So it's a run.
It's a run play.
It's a run play.
Yeah. I'm sorry to be the bearer of the bad news, the guy that puts the affirmation on it.
Oof.
I just looked at the line initially, but now that I look at the receivers and what they're doing in that stock block situation.
And they don't run a route, right?
Nobody's
running a route.
So it is a run attempt. It is a run attempt. So I feel sorry for the individual.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, usually you take a look on that, but you've got to rewind that before you give it. It's a TFL, it's tackle for loss.
Well, but the TFL's not as valuable in this fantasy leagues as the sack.
I understand, but it still is TFL.
This poor guy.
Could he have tried to claim his money in that 30 minutes before or no? There's no way.
Well, they would have come back and gotten it.
Well, JR, one of our producers, JR Strauss, said, boy, you think he bought anything real quick on... did he go out and splurge? Like, if he's a bourbon lover, did he start hunting like Pappy 23
or did he have a special bottle of champagne and he decided to crack that bottle of champagne to celebrate his victory? And you can't put the champagne back in the bottle. You can't put that cork back in there.
I don't know what I would do.
Oh, I'd be devastated, right? I mean, he's got to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's paying for your, if you have kids, that's your college
tuition.
Yeah.
Oh, You put it right. You put it away. Save a little. You invest a little bit of it. You put a huge chunk away for your kids' tuition. He's 41. He's probably, you know, might have young kids.
Well, I'm sure he does.
Merck, you should track him down. We got his name. At 41.
Yeah, let's call this guy, man. He's probably got 10, 12-year-old kids, 15.
Yeah, you don't know. Maybe got married.
Started having a family at 28.
Listen, I'm 40. I'm almost 44. My kids are 8.5 and 6.5. I started a little late, kid. I had my fun.
Well, you know, I know what you were out there doing, kid. You were taking your cuts. You're in the batter's box taking your swings, kid.
Going down swinging.
Oh, yeah. No. Carmen working the local festival circuit on Friday and Saturday night.
You know it.
Where you at? Yeah, we're down on Division over here. Nope. We're up on Division. Where you at? We're at the St. Patrick's Festival.
You nailed it.
At the art fair. Yeah, trying to get... Yeah,
the Old Town Art Fair, famous scene of the Van Gogh.
Thank you. The Banksy. Is that when Banksy came and had some stuff in there?
Sylvie bought a Van Gogh once. I don't know if people know that at the Old Town Art Fair.
What did he buy it for?
Sylvie, I'd go down swinging, sure, but nobody went to the plate. Nobody was afraid of going 0-3. Like, so he was ballsy. No, I mean,
nah, he didn't care.
He'd go 0-3, 0-4 next night, right back up. I'll go down 0-4, 4 strikeouts again. He didn't care.
And listen, if the night was bad, you just head over to...
Got a pizza.
Hey, 22nd and Archer. Went home and ordered some Chinese food.
Went home and ordered.
So, sometimes, even if you're below the...
They got great Chinese food down there.
What is your Robert Kraft? Oh, no. I'm sorry, Mallard.
No, that was better than I was going to say. Sometimes even if you're hitting below the Mendoza line, if you run into one, you hit a home run.
That's exactly right. You could hit 188 and still hit one out of the park.
That's right.
That was Silverman's philosophy.
It's a numbers game.
He's like, I'm going to go down swinging.
Absolute numbers game.
It's always good when you're out with him because sometimes maybe you're like, I don't want to just watch the game tonight, hang with my friends, we'll get a little liquored up. You know, forget about it. You were with Silverman, though. That's it. You had to go to the dish. He made you.
You'd be a good wingman, too, because he'd fire at so many. Eventually, you got one of those that was just kind of winged a little bit.
He was like a young Augie Ojeda at the place. Yeah,
absolutely.
You call a weak one from the herd at that point, one that's been kind of bedazzled or baffled by his brilliance.
Sylvie loved Augie Ojeda so much, yeah. Bedazzled by it. They were bewildered.
Like, one of the two, or baffled.
If not, you just go home and have yourself a Caesar's Turris.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what we used to do. Yeah, have a Domino's pizza and a Caesar's Turris. So we feel bad for that guy. Maybe Merkel will try to get him on. We'll have him, see if he's gotten over it yet. I mean, for 30 minutes, even if it's 30 minutes, to think you had just won a schmill, that's brutal. Absolutely brutal. This is Matt Nagy. Now, I do want to play this. This is the head coach yesterday when he addressed the media. Would he ever consider giving up play calling?
Yeah, I look at all that, and that's the very first thing that I look at is that. And so I talk to our coaches, and we talk through that whole process. And I'm really honestly not opposed to there's no opposition from me if we feel like that's what the issue is. And so we look at that, right now where we're at, that's not where we think it's at, but at the same point in time, I'll always continue each week to look at it. I mean, I'll say this too, when you're in a little bit of a rut, like we are right now, you have to look at everything. And sometimes even if it's just a little bit of a change somewhere too, you have to be able to do that. No one here, coach and or player, has too big of an ego to think that it's not them, right, as a player or a coach. So we talk through those kind of decisions, and we just keep evaluating and rolling and seeing where we're at.
He did kind of say, though, it's not him, didn't he? He's like, we don't think that's the issue. Like, play calling's not the issue?
We don't think.
You kind of did just say it's not you. I mean, he's like, no, it's –
it's a problem. You know it's a problem. We all know it's a problem. That's it. We know that.
A lot of times it's the old, it's not you, it's me thing, right? Mm-hmm. Seinfeld did a whole episode on that once, right? You know, no, it's not you, it's me. Nagy's like, it ain't me. It's you guys. Not the play calling. Well, no, it's not the play caller.
Right, he's definitely pointing the finger. Definitely not
I just,
this guy.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of blame to go around here. Matt Nagy's got to wear it. Ryan Pace, the personnel that they have assembled here, especially on offense, just not a good collection. The quarterback situation, but you can't tell me that a lot of this isn't on the coach, where the only time you see successful plays down the field are highly contested catches where your guys are just making a play.
Now, there were receivers running free during the game, but they were always overthrown because either pressure was on the quarterback or your quarterback overthrew the ball again, which is historically a problem for this franchise here ever since Matt Nagy got here.
Yeah.
If you do have a receiver running wide open, for one reason or another, you're so happy and elated to see it that you chuck the ball 12 yards over his head and he doesn't have a chance to get it.
Merck says he found the guy already, Rob Huntsie.
Let's get him
on. Did you vet this guy? We're sure here?
Let's get Rob on.
The real McCoy?
Let's blow up the clock here. We're going to go with Rob.
We were just telling you the story about this guy in St. Louis.
Oh,
he's an insurance salesman. And he thought he won a schmill with Bears-Rams because he had the defenses. And Akeem Hicks was originally credited with a sack late in the game. I think it was a third down play. The game was meaningless at this point anyway.
Yes, it was.
And then when Elias went back and reviewed it, and Yurko confirmed it, Yurko, 10-year veteran in the NFL, he said, yeah, there's no receivers in a route. They're all blocking down the field. He said, that's a running play. Goff was bootlegging. It was a running play. Tucked it under. It went from a sack to a three-yard loss. This poor guy lost $997,000. Well, Merkin found him. Rob's on the phone with us on the Corona Hotline. Rob, is that you?
I'm a big loser. What's up, guys?
Oh, my God.
Rob, what
first
were
of all, you're not a loser.
Right, that's true. I mean, what were you thinking, though, when the initial reports came back up and you saw yourself numero uno, A number one, the big chief?
I play a lot, so I've been there before, not to this extent, but when I got the Bears sack defensive return, I thought there was a chance that I would be at the million. And that's exactly what happened. Going crazy. I know there's so much time left. And when you get in those big tournaments, 176,000, any catch, any kneel down, anything can happen. So I knew everything had to go right from this point on. Plus, I had four Rams players. To pick the defense was so contrarian. Mm. You know, I thought it was going to be pretty tough, but that's kind of what you got to do to win these big one-night showdowns.
How do you pick, though? You said you do a lot of this. I mean, do you take a pretty analytic approach, and is there something in the numbers that told you to take that? Was it a gut feeling? Like, how'd you end up with that?
So there's different ways to play. I like to try and find the right lineup. Like, I feel like it's a Rosetta Stone every Sunday. I got to figure out the right guys. There's the right matchup. So you can only play those higher dollar amount with less people, because when you get to the big tournaments, it's more about game theory, percentage of ownership. Mm. So you have to be contrarian, which is what I did. And this was a perfect game to do that because it was going to be a mess. I mean, there's no superstars that are going to 100% get all the points.
Right.
Komet can get something. The Rams tight end, you could have kickers get involved. I liked Everett and Reynolds. I had them in a lot of lineups. So it was just kind of one of those games that are muddied up where you don't have to have those top guys.
What's the most what's the most you've ever won? You sound experienced at this.
I came in third in the Wildcat for $75,000.
Nice.
I just qualified in week two for my third Fantasy Football World Championship. So DraftKings, we got a little problem. I'm mad at them. But they've done it right for me over the last couple of years. Deep sea fishing, four nights in Fort Lauderdale, Miami. I take friends down there with me. So it's a good event. So,
dude, you're a high roller.
Can we be friends?
Yeah, you're a high roller, dude.
I like fishing and I don't get seasick.
What? You mentioned I'm a lowly insurance agent.
Yeah, so well,
I'm
I don't know.
He's still a working man.
Still a working man, right? Are you married?
Single.
Okay. So, yeah, we were wondering, like, were you telling, did you go out and buy the wife, like, a Louis Vuitton purse or something? Did you make any purchases in the first 30 minutes when you thought you won $1 million?
So I did not mentally take that money into my mental bank. So besides telling my parents I was giving them some money, I never got to that point where I'm paying stuff off or buying anything. So it's almost like it got taken away, and it's kind of bull. And the validation would have been nice, putting myself in position to finally break through on that big win. Mm. But I don't feel like I lost the money like it was in my account. Although,
so it
to go a half hour right after the fact, I was thinking I was good.
But. Yeah, did it feel like a kick in the nads? I mean, is that what it was like when you sat
big
there, you looked at the computer, and you're like, oh!
Big kick, size 12, right to the ball.
Oh, what were you? So, and did you immediately go back and look at the play? And did you say, "Yeah"? Do you agree with the ruling? Because it does appear to be that it was a running play.
So the play got broke. Well, yeah, I didn't know exactly what play. I was kind of celebrating and talking to a couple people, And then, yeah, I'm figuring it out, box scores. I see what happened. And it's kind of unfortunate that my 1 point coming down tied me with other people where Chicago's defense tied Allen Robinson, who somehow landed right on the number 11 as well. So that was a little weird. But, yeah, it was just kind of shocked, man.
Right back on the horse this weekend?
I'm ready to go.
You got to fly.
I'm hoping they'll reach. I mean, it was a sack when, like I was saying, play got blown up. There does have to kind of be a receiver. We can't, unless we talk to McVay, know what they're thinking. Plus, when he was kind of sliding 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, he was going down out of defense.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a guy behind him.
It did look like it. You're right.
Yeah, so it's tough to make that, especially when you have, you know, you challenge something. It's got to be irrefutable evidence to overturn it. I feel like that's something where, you know, you just got to leave it be. You know, I don't think they looked into it and got somebody who knows Chipotle addict who plays big time, who's an NFL scorer. I don't think there's a big conspiracy. It went by the box score.
Yeah.
But it was just unfortunate to overturn that. I know being a baseball fan, Cardinals, I know you're in Chicago. But I think the stats go to the home team and you see something where it's a hit versus an error. They'll change it in game. So I didn't know if it was something like
well,
that.
I think
maybe they didn't want to give him a sack. Or
no, ultimately, the NFL is ruled by Elias Sports Bureau.
That's what you're
and,
looking
and Elias yeah, makes the changes. Hey, Elias has made changes like a day after.
That they review it. And
they've gone back and made changes a day after.
They're kind of like the accounting firm, I
right,
guess. You know, and like they have to, they go back and they audit it, I suppose.
Yeah, and listen, if I didn't see the wide receiver stock blocking on the corners, not even trying to run a route, then I'd say there'd be a little bit of an argument, but they're not even thinking about running. Nobody's running a route on the play.
Does DraftKings do anything for you? Like, we feel bad? I don't know. I mean,
not really. They came back with a guy with a big title who said that's kind of who they went through. I think it was the NFL scoring, so I don't think he mentioned Elias, which is who I asked for.
Okay. Right.
But I don't know. It's picking up some tracking. I don't know. Hopefully, to go 997,000 down on a questionable deal, that was in my favor to overturn it. And you said they don't go back and take money away from people when they really do it a couple of days ago or after the fact, like you were saying.
Right, right.
I don't know. It was just tough.
Rob,
I didn't spend the money, but it was there, man. I thought I was there.
Good luck, Rob, and thanks for giving us a few minutes.
There's going to be
story
good
of redemption. I'll That's be right. Call me back after I hit the Fantasy Football World Championship, guys.
And we wish you luck too. We wish you luck there. All right,
he didn't call us back.
Thank you.
All right, see you, Rob.
Bye, man.
There's the guy. Right, that's him.
That's
nice job,
man.
Merck. You found him, Rob Hunt.
Merck.
You can tell he's a seasoned player.
Get Merck some money.
I'm not going to get
Merck, I got $3 in my pocket, all right? I'm going to get you $3.
Boy, Twitch is brought to you all week by DraftKings.
Oh, look at that.
That's it. DraftKings,
That is brutal, man. All right.
He's jumping right back on the DraftKings horse.
Well, you have
to remember that.
You know, Meller was yesterday we were so wrapped up in Bears. Meller tweeted out some of the things people should be looking for in the waiver wire. He'll recap that coming up next. Just to give everybody a refresher on who they should be targeting for waiver stuff, because that's where we are in the fantasy week. We got JD coming up in about 15 minutes to talk Bears with us as well. Carmen and Yurko coming right back.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
At Total Pro Sports on Twitter wins the day. And this is Dan Sheltiel, who's I tweet with a lot. He actually sent this to me. I saw this in my at mentions on Twitter, at Carmen DeFalco. It is the play from Sunday Night Football, and it's Buda Baker running down the sideline, and Blake Snell's face is superimposed on his body, and you can imagine whose face is superimposed on DK Metcalf's
Kevin
body.
Cash.
Kevin Cash.
There's a handful of those that are out there.
Oh, are there? I haven't seen
that. There's a handful of those
really
that are pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you not see the one where there's Buda Baker and it is underneath it, it says bad quarterbacks, and then it's got Ryan Pace as DK Metcalf getting ready to tackle him? That one's good, too. hits close to home.
Like I said, there's a number of them that are out there.
That's pretty funny. So good job there. There's Kevin Cash chasing down Buda Baker from behind. That's pretty funny.
Did you hear the raw audio of Buda Baker's interception?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it's awesome.
We put that in?
The raw audio.
I mean, it's a lot of him running at the end. You hear him say, he gets off the field, goes, "How do you catch me?"
See if JR can find that and put that in.
So he was mic'd for the game?
I don't know if he was mic'd or
maybe a parabolic got him or something, yeah. Or I don't know.
Maybe because, no, you know, very limited fans.
There's no fans, yeah. If he's walking off the field, maybe we can find that. And then, you know what else? We were just talking to that guy from St. Louis, Rob Hunts, who had lost that million. Did somebody else claim that million?
Well, and that's somebody else claim it. The next guy in line.
That's what I'm saying. Is there a single winner that ended up getting that?
Yes, oof. It's $1 million contest. So, yeah,
the guy behind him gets elevated up, and as long as there were no ties, he claims the whole prize?
Right. Correct.
Wow.
Well, and that's what he was saying. That's what Rob was talking about, is that when you're in those big $1 million maker contests, what happens is that, you know, if a quarterback at the end of the game takes a knee, you'll lose a yard here or there. You have to wait.
3 yards.
Exactly. It changes around.
On a kneel down?
It's always moving.
Yes.
Wow.
Depending upon who it is.
Because that's what he said. There's so many guys. There are 176,000 people in
there. And the differential oftentimes is one or two players. So that's why every play can make a difference.
Meller, you're a fantasy. Meller's our fantasy expert and our guru. Do you play those daily fantasies?
I don't, because, and I will say that a lot of the daily sites have gotten better about this. But for a long time, there were, you know, algorithms by people that were put in place that made it very difficult to win.
Matter of fact, at some point, there were even guys within the corporation that were playing.
Yeah. Well, that was illegal. Yeah. That was a big scandal.
They've done a much better job over the last year or two kind of eliminating that. But I personally...
How do they eliminate it, though? If you've got, like, a great
algorithm... They limit the number of entries.
Is that what they do? Yeah, because guys are just loading up all the entries.
So the differential would, like, be very difficult to win if you were just, like, a casual player.
If I was playing two teams.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
It made it very difficult to beat... You know,
a guy with 100 that's got all the
algorithms. The reason our guy was in good shape, Rob, was because he had taken the Rams defense and the Bears defense.
Correct. Yeah.
So he kind of had gone oppo with a couple other players.
Wow. Yeah. Man, that's crazy. Meller, we tweeted it yesterday, and Jeff was gone because he was working late Monday with Howard, obviously, doing Bears, Bears post after the Monday night game. And we were so swamped yesterday with Bears stuff. We had full phone calls all day. We did not do our waiver wire segment with Jeff that we do each and every Tuesday to kick off the fantasy week. That is our fantasy segment. Instead of who should I play, who should I keep on the bench, Meller tells you who to look for on the waiver wire. I mean, we've been giving him a lot of love, and rightfully so. If you've been listening, and maybe it's helped you as the weeks have gone on here, names like Chase Claypool, James Robinson, the undrafted kid out of Illinois State.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
He gave you Miles Gaskin, Boston Scott. These are guys that I've picked up. They've helped me win fantasy leagues. So
and we're 7-0 in the league that we drafted with our listeners and fans.
They know. We're showing them who's boss.
But we've got a wager going this week with one of the guys.
The guy who we play this week sent me a tweet, and he said, geez, somebody's got to take you guys
We're running roughshod over this league.
And not only are we 7-0, and you think, well, maybe you guys have gotten lucky, we lead the league in points, too. We are clearly the dominant team.
I don't know how it happens.
Well, I do. It's Carmen and Yurko working magic together.
That's how it works. C&J coming at you.
We got to show these guys who's boss here.
That's right. There's a reason why we're the experts.
Yeah, right. I'm actually having a good fantasy year in all three of my leagues, which is rare. But Meller's fantasy advice on Tuesdays, the waiver watch, has really helped.
It's helped.
So, Meller, give everybody just a real quick recap, like a top two or three people that everybody should be looking for. I know you tweeted it yesterday.
So, if he's available, and he may not have gotten as much traction because he didn't have a monster game. A lot of times you'll see guys who have big weeks, they're the easy pickups. Jamichael Hasty may still be available in your league as a free agent. He looks like he could step into the lead back role for the 49ers. And look, it doesn't matter.
What about Wilson, though? Didn't Wilson have the huge day?
Yeah, he hurt his ankle.
He hurt his ankle.
He's going to be on injured reserve.
What about Carlos Hyde?
Carlos Hyde,
can't catch a break in the Niners with these injuries. So it goes from Mostert to Wilson. Guys do great, and then they get hurt.
I was just discussing with JR. He's got a Jerick McKinnon issue. I think Jamichael Hasty is the guy who could step in and really get the majority of the carries. He's been explosive in the limited number of reps that he's had.
And they seem to be able to run it no matter who's back.
That's the point, is that Kyle Shanahan schemes up a better game than anybody in the league right now.
Okay. So he's the number one.
He's probably still available in a lot of leagues, right. So he's worth picking up. You got to watch the practice reports. If Carlos Hyde looks like he's going, if he gives you a limited action today or on Friday, then he's somebody you're going to want to add, because with Chris Carson out for multiple weeks with the ankle issue, yeah. He's definitely somebody who is worth, probably he's going to be a starter for most teams as their running back too.
Okay, as long as he's healthy.
Brandon Ayuk, we've said his name multiple times without Deebo Samuel now.
Yeah, Deebo Samuel's hurt again.
Oh, yeah, I would envision a bigger role for Ayuk.
He can't catch a break.
Sterling Shepard. You know, he's been available because he was injured. He's come back now. He's worth adding if you're looking for a receiving help. And then finally, you know, I think depending on your league size, Tua is worth a speculative add.
Okay.
You never know. Like, I don't know what to expect from him, but he was really good at Alabama, and the Dolphins' offense has been surprisingly productive this year. So I think Tua is worth a speculative add just in case he turns into the next Justin Herbert.
Sounds good. So keep an eye on all that, everybody. Is Miles Sanders going to play this weekend? Do we know yet?
He wants to, and it's against that Cowboys defense. So
oh, God, I hope he plays.
The problem is that is the Sunday night game.
I've got Boston. I'm just going to back him up.
Yeah, so hopefully you've got Scott and you can wait.
Who takes Kenyon Drake's place?
I'll play one of
Chase Edmonds, and he should be owned in most leagues. If he's not, Yerk, that's a great call.
Who's the guy behind him?
Behind Chase Edmonds.
That's what I'd be looking at now.
Chase Edmonds looked good late in the game.
Right, no, but I'm saying Chase Edmonds is probably gone. Now I'm trying to think maybe do a preemptive ad and take the guy behind Chase Edmonds.
I like it. Yerko's trying to get ahead of it.
I got to get ahead of it.
Call.
I'm thinking.
Eno Benjamin is listed as the third man on the depth chart.
Did you say Eno?
Eno.
He's from Arizona State. He's really, really good player.
All right.
Yeah. So maybe, maybe grab Eno
Just
Benjamin.
Just wonder if he's related to the Colonel.
Merck vouches for him. JD's got a Bears update when we come back next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Talk to Jeff Dickerson. He's at Dickerson ESPN on Twitter. Make sure you follow him. Great stuff at ESPN.com, NFL Nation. I feel like I have to start by asking JD about a former Bear. JD, let me ask you something. I got to ask you something about Lance Briggs, okay?
Yeah, you want to start fun, huh?
What do you think Lance knows here? Lance tweeted this about a half hour ago. You ready? I can see an old Sox coach returning today, .. And then those little eyes that, you know, the eyes emoji. What does Lance know? Is he breaking news that the Sox are about to hire a manager?
Listen, Lance is a man of many interests, many talents. His waters run deep. I mean, this could be a variety of things. Maybe he's got the edge with La Russa. Maybe he knows that Ozzie's got a job someplace.
Ooh.
Maybe that whole NBC Sportsnet. But that would be, that'd be stepping on the cat man's toes if he's breaking that type of news.
Like Ozzie's going to coach somewhere else because the White Sox rolled him out. That's
maybe,
great.
Cooper's got something cooking in the oven after being fired by the White Sox, you know?
Look at Lance, newsmaker. Well, we'll see.
What's up with Jerry Manuel? Is he still okay? Yeah, is he alive still?
That, people in, like, responding to him, I think someone did make, like, there's a Terry Bevington joke, a Jerry Manuel joke. I think all of those are rolling into Lance's Twitter timeline. I can see an old Sox coach returning today. We'll see. JD, Bears, I mean, we really vented and went off yesterday. Today we've had more fun. We've talked World Series and stuff like that. I'm going to get upset again as we get closer to the game. And until they prove to me that they can be a real offense, we're not asking for the world here. We're asking them to be about like 16th. You can't be 29th. And I'm sorry, you can't take this team seriously as an NFC contender until this offense plays better. You can't be the 29th ranked offense. I don't care how good your defense is, and win a Super Bowl.
Carmen, it's not just the 29th ranked offense. I mean, they're 27th in points per game. They're 30th in yards per play. They're 30th in yards per run.
All of it.
They're 29th in yards per pass. They're 30th on third down conversions. They're 29th in the red zone. There's no silver lining here. I mean, the offense, it just is what it is. The fact that they're 5-2 is miraculous. It shows you, though, that at 5-2, and you look at the rest of this schedule. See, here's, if you want to have one positive thing to cling on to today, right? Now, I cannot, with that offense, ever say that this is a team that's going to win a lot of playoff games and really challenge for a Super Bowl. But to get to the postseason, you'll need 9, maybe 10. It's expanded this year with one extra team because of COVID. And, I mean, I don't think the Saints is a great matchup this weekend. I don't think the Titans are a great matchup the following week. But the Vikings are a mess. You've got them twice. I don't like the Packers either time, but you can beat the Lions again. The Texans are awful. Jacksonville's awful. So, guys, I mean, they could get to 9.
It's a 9. I think you're right. I think they're still going to make the playoffs, JD. 5-1 is a good cushion. Yeah.
Now, it's going to be ugly. They could do it. It's going to be ugly.
Well, it'll be ugly.
Because of the defense. They're going to have to lean on that defense, and maybe they'll get, you know, they'll get lucky a little bit with some offensive stuff here or there, some unexpected plays, maybe a coverage bust by the other team. But, see, there's just not much. I look at it like this. That offensive line, guys, is so bad that there's really not going to be much improvement you can really make.
Right.
And I thought that Matt Nagy yesterday, now he was taking all the hits about, you know, relinquishing play calling and everything and time management and timeouts, and he is certainly not really looking great here. But I thought the thing that he said yesterday that stuck out to me, and by the way, he's going to talk again in about 5 minutes here on Zoom. It's been a very sad couple days on Zoom. Mm-hmm. Very quiet Zoom calls the last day. And the lights went out in L.A. Can't believe that. They turned the lights off on the poor guy as he's sitting there after that game. I'm like, geez, can you just put the lights on for Nagy? What he said yesterday is, when you guys watch the tape, take a look to see how, if there's any pocket for the quarterback to step up into. He's basically telling you that the offensive line is being obliterated at the line of scrimmage. And you might have these grandiose ideas about going deep, but Nick Foles is dropping back and he's turning, and that ball's got to come out because there's no pocket for him to step up into. And Yurko can tell you this better than anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, if the offensive lineman's back is in your face, what realistically do you expect to have accomplished? So, and then they can't run the ball. That's another issue. I'm not saying that Nagy is absolved of anything. I mean, listen, he's the head coach. This is his offense. Some of the play calls have been very odd. There's no rhythm. There's a lot of things going on, right? Another thing is, nothing is ever built off what they are doing. I had some very smart people tell me this the other day. Like, watch the Rams, Yurko. Watch that high motion every play,
it compliments it. It all looks the same, and it's different things being run off similar looks.
Correct.
You know, making you hesitate because the ball's going in all different directions out of the same thing.
Watch Shanahan's
then,
offense.
And then you watch the Bears with their gimmick plays.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, wait a minute. That's not building off of anything. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
So he's not... he's not blame-free here by any means. But I just don't know, guys. I just don't know what he's going to be able to get done with that offensive line. That's that's a real problem.
Now, I'm glad you came back to it now that you've said how it's going to be with the offensive line. Now, remember, though, in the offseason, the greatest change to this thing was they brought in the great Juan Castillo.
And that was a huge mistake. I mean, I don't know if
it's a mistake or not a mistake. It's just that an offensive line coach only has so much impact.
Correct.
When you take a look and you've got five blocks of cream cheese sitting there blocking for you, you're only going to be able to do so much for it. So his look what we did with the offensive line coach means nothing. It was a nothing move. He wanted to fire the guy because it wasn't his guy. He brought in his guy, and his guy's now got to manage the same five pieces of whatever they are, like anybody else would have had those challenges. So it was a nothing move. He just got his buddy there, and that's all that really matters. Now, serious question, JD, and I want you to put your thinking cap on. With this crappy offensive line, with maybe the worst offensive line in Chicago Bear history, is the only way to improve the running game maybe by putting Mitch Trubisky back in there at starter?
He
not because he deserves
that.
It.
I know. He was asked that yesterday, Yurko. I think that's the last thing that Matt Nagy wants to do. I think that would create so many more problems for him. Mm-hmm. I don't think he wants to do it. But you're right. I mean, there is no question about mobility. The mobility favors Trubisky times 30. I mean, Nick Foles just isn't. That's not what he does. He's not very fleet of foot. But Yurko, the way that He shot that down yesterday, Nagy. It's going to take more suffering than this for that to happen. But here's the thing, kid. Let's be real, Yerk. How much longer is Nick Foles going to survive back there with this offensive line?
Well, Mitch is going to be back there one way or the other.
I think he's going to play again. Yeah. Yes. Mm. I think Mitch is going to play again because simply I don't know if Nick Foles can – how much longer he's going to be able to hold up. I'm not saying like a season ender or anything, but, I mean, he's taking a lot of hits. The ball's got to come out so quick. I would predict that at some point – he's going to have to miss a game or two or a series or a half, and Mitch is going to have to play. So, yeah, we have not seen – I do not believe at all we have seen the last of Mitch this year. You've seen the last of him long term, and that's another whole other issue. I mean, if the Foles thing doesn't work out, Mitch hasn't worked out.
You're back to square one.
You're back to square one. And, by the way, you're going to win 9 games.
So you're
not going to be in the top 10
right.
to take a quarterback. And that's why it's just – that's why I think people that don't live here like us, they don't understand
the pain.
It's the perpetual cycle of all of this, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to fire Matt Nagy.
No, you know, especially in COVID, right? They're not going to fire Matt Nagy.
Guys, Matt Nagy's going to make the playoffs this year probably.
Yeah.
That'd be 2 out of 3 years. Have you seen his record?
I know.
They're not going to fire him.
I agree.
And by the way, if they fire both guys, who hires the replacements? They don't have anyone in house to hire the replacements.
Yeah.
So, like
you said, that's why we're stuck in this perpetual cycle.
Right. That's why, unfortunately, you just got to hope and pray that at some point, offensively, things can get straightened out. But it is just. Now, the Saints are not great defensively, but you would think this is a matchup they're looking forward to this weekend. That's a team that's won 3 in a row, got off to kind of a rocky start. It's a tough matchup. Tennessee. But that defense, that's a real tough matchup in 2 weeks. But after that, it breaks a little bit. You got the Vikings. You got the bye. You know, you do have the Packers twice. Again, Jacksonville's really bad. The Texans are really bad. So it is very possible they can find a way to get to 9 or maybe even 10.
JD, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
Thank you, guys. Sorry for the depressing.
No, it is what it is, my man.
Yeah, it's 5-2, but
speak
boy,
the truth.
Feels bad.
Feels like 2-5, but it's 5-2.
It does. See you, JD.
Bye, guys.
There's Jeff Dickerson at Dickerson ESPN on Twitter. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Yurk and I got to say hi to an old friend today for a few minutes. Mikey Jimenez, our buddy, stopped by and dropped off a few stogies for us. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah, we congratulated him on his engagement earlier
That's
in the year,
right.
too.
Yeah, it's Hollywood,
seen
Mike.
Him since then, yeah.
Local fighter.
Always
great,
stops
great
by.
Dude.
Always stops by Bourbon and Bacon.
Comes every year.
Always stops by.
Absolutely. Big supporter of the cause. Mike's got a connection through one of his best friends in life who had a relative that had cystic fibrosis. So there every year. Good dude. Nice seeing him. We've got a few minutes. We can take a few calls before we get out of here. Greenies, Greenies coming up at about 10. Waddle and Sylvia 2 this afternoon. Black and Abdallah after that. No game 7 tonight. So baseball's over. It's time for football to shine. Even with everything else going on, football kind of shines anyway, right, Yurk? We got
like
Thursday
to
night
think
football
so.
Already tomorrow.
I like
man.
To think
Carm,
so.
We do have the Buda Baker
Oh, yeah, we got that audio. I forgot. Let's JR found that. Let's hear that real quick.
Catch my ass. What the?
He's mic'd up. That's awesome.
Yeah, he didn't know it on the field, you know, because you can't see him. He's quartered over the right shoulder. Even if you look back, you're not seeing him. You're trying to see if somebody's immediately over there. It's like, where'd he come from? I'm hauling.
Buda Baker runs a 4.45 40.
That's a great point, Yurk. I just remember was it Larry Fitzgerald who used the big Jumbotron in the Super Bowl to overlook against the Steelers.
Right.
Like, he knew he was looking at the Jumbotron to see how close the defenders were behind him. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Devin Hester did it.
In the smidge of a delay.
Devin Hester did it in the kickoff, didn't he? He was looking up at the screen, and he realized, hey, there's nobody close to me. Yeah. I'm in, man. That's it. That's really good. That sounds like he's wearing the mic, right? I mean, he's running. Yeah. That's yeah.
I mean, that's it. I mean, like from the point of where he got it, he's running. You hear the steps, and it seems like there's a little hitch in the get along. So if you listen to the rhythmic beats of the run, yeah, just a little bit of a hitch in the get along.
Is that how he caught him? Sounds like he's running fast to me.
It's like
a friggin' racehorse.
Put a boom, put a boom, put a boom, put a boom.
Right there.
And then?
How'd he catch my ass? What the?
That's the best. These guys are amazing. Joe's in Lakeview. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. I just want to, first of all, you guys are the best. Thank you so much for being the shining light on Chicago radio. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, so sweet.
Hey, so here's the thing, man. I'm a Bears fan, and I'm really very, very disappointed, and I'm wondering if maybe you guys could play therapist to patient here, because there's something I cannot understand, okay? So I'm going to lay this out really quick. Nagy and Pace evaluate that Mitch Trubisky is their guy. They trade up, take him second overall.
Well, Nagy wasn't part of that.
John Fox. John Fox.
That's Pace.
Okay, John Fox. Okay, so they identify this as being their guy, okay? Mm-hmm. So they end up taking this guy, this two overall, when they, I mean, we all think that they probably should have taken Watson. But, okay, so now you have this guy, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, he hasn't played a whole lot of college football. He's raw talent. He's an athletic guy. In the three seasons that he's been with the Bears, if you look at his stats, it's actually pretty impressive. He was 11-3 in 1 year. He was a Pro Bowler. He comes out this season 2-1, although he didn't look that great. And, you know, I think that maybe the addition of Foles gave.
Yeah, we're with you.
We just lost Joe.
All right, well, for a couple things. It was Matt
Joe,
Nagy.
Joe, just lost you.
No, it wasn't Matt Nagy. It was Ryan Pace that fell in love with him.
All by himself.
Fox had no idea. Fox was ambushed at the draft with the thought of taking Mitch Trubisky in the draft. This was Ryan Pace and Ryan Pace all by himself, and then trying to prove to everybody. Everybody had him rated this high. Everybody had him rated this high. So it wasn't John Fox. It was Ryan Pace that made this
all
choice.
All by himself.
He was a Pro Bowler. Guys, seven other quarterbacks canceled. Somebody had to be a Pro Bowler. If you're the 10th guy going to the Pro Bowl, are you truly a Pro Bowler
at
the position?
In fairness, I don't know if it was seven, but yeah. No, Mitch has never
really. There are a lot of cancellations.
Mitch has never really had a good year. 18 was decent. 18 right. For the first half of the season, I think Nagy right. did catch teams off guard because they hadn't seen him. Once this league adjusts, though, they figure things out.
And they adjust to Mitch and to
that was it.
Matt Nagy.
Yeah, I mean,
and to Matt Nagy.
What about Mitch Trubisky last year was good? I gave everybody the numbers yesterday. I put it on Twitter. Since the last 23 games, the majority of that, the overwhelming majority, is Mitch Trubisky as the starting quarterback. They're one of the three or four worst offenses in football since the start of last year. That's it. That's the bottom line, everybody. Period. End of story.
And a lot of that has to do with your offensive line, too.
Yeah, a lot of it does.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to cheer you up, but I can't. I can't. And your defense is going to have to try to carry you and put your offense in great position. Your offense can play better as it goes. And you're not going to play a defense that might be as decent as the Rams are, at least the pass rush.
Yeah.
You might play a lesser pass rush team, but a better overall defense and have a chance to maybe be more successful.
Short week this week, right back at it today, and Allen Robinson is indeed in concussion protocol. I don't think that's a surprise after he left the game the other day. So Allen Robinson is in concussion protocol for this weekend against the Saints. We'll see. Didn't have much of an impact the other night anyway. But when the quarterback doesn't have time to throw the football, it's tough.
Yeah.
Thanks to Jeff Dickerson for joining us today. Thanks to Rob Hunts, right, of St. Louis for being a good sport and joining us, even though his story's making the rounds now. Because of a stat adjustment in the Bears' Monday night game, he went from a $1 million winner in a DraftKings contest to winning just $3,000. That's brutal. If you miss anything, check out the podcast. Make sure you download the ESPN Chicago app and get all the shows and all the great podcasts from the radio station. Thanks to Midway Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss, and Randy Merkin. Greeny's next, then Waddle and Sylvie, and then Bleck and Abdallah tonight at 6. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
Why?
don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!